Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. I am going to start this podcast by just briefly talking about the non-farm payroll report last Friday. The Labor Department claims that jobs increased by 177,000 in April, which was much better than the 133,000 expected. But there were 58,000 jobs lost in the preceding month's revisions. You know, they always come out with these numbers, the headline figure for the month, and then they always revise them, almost always revise them down. And the Labor Department's birth-death model added 393,000 jobs for the month. And these jobs are just assumed jobs from their outdated and faulty model. The ADP's private sector count showed just 62,000 jobs were created in the month. And both the ISM surveys, both of them, the manufacturing survey and the services sector survey from the Institute of Supply Management, showed labor was contracting in the month. So in truth, the labor market is not strong at all. And if you're going to trade like it is, you may do so at your own risk. More importantly, if the tariffs with China aren't lowered significantly and imminently, the April jobs report, as phony as it was, will be the last good one for a while, because it's going to be so bad that even the Labor Department can't polish the pig. Thousands of small businesses will soon be shutting down, never mind hiring, as their inventories disappear along with their customers. That's not a prediction. It's what's going to happen if this tariff chaos with China isn't resolved soon. The New York Stock Exchange recently put together a string of 9 consecutive positive trading sessions. It was the longest winning streak in 21 years. But for reference, the S&P 500 is still down almost 6% year to date, while Pentaport is up on the year. Coming into the year, we were not bearish on the market. We just knew, thanks to the model, that GDP growth would slow enough and significantly limit the upside in the context of the existing extreme valuations. That's all we know. Very little growth in the economy and overvalued stock market just skewed the risk reward in favor of bonds over stocks. We did not anticipate a 20% drop in stocks. The tariff war was the primary reason why the market fell 20%. There was no liquidity crisis or recession present prior to the April 2nd Liberation Day. But then the tariffs began pulling forward those eventualities. The result is, despite the recent rally, a recession and liquidity crisis is no longer several quarters away. We are now in an incipient recession. Wall Street believes that President Trump will end the tariff war imminently, and that has given markets a temporary reprieve. I have no way of knowing if that is entirely true. There is no way of modeling any president's brain, and Trump is in no way the exception to the rule. But it is true that he can do whatever he wants to do by executive order. He can take the tariffs away or increase them at any given moment. It is my job, and more importantly, the job of the inflation, deflation, economic cycle model's job to understand when the damage has been done to the point that it becomes too late to undo with just the stroke of a pen. Having said that, here is my view on how President Trump will deal with the tariff conundrum that currently exists. I believe Trump underestimated the damage that would be done following his Liberation Day Rose Garden celebration. The tariffs were announced on April 2nd and the markets fell into complete chaos immediately, even though the tariffs were not going to take effect until April 9th. Then came April 9th. The Liberation Day level of tariffs lasted less than one day. It took about 12 hours before the equity and bond markets reached such a fragile condition that it forced Trump to push the pause button for 90 days. Even though not one trade deal was consummated at the time. In fact, as of this recording, at 3 p.m. on Wednesday evening, or after late afternoon, there still isn't one trade deal done. The question I have is this. If the tariff chaos is part of some art of the deal negotiation tactic, like many people who are Trump sycophants feel. Now, again, I voted for Trump twice. Far better alternative, but I don't worship at his altar. So if the tariff chaos is part of some art of the deal negotiation tactic, then why would Trump give up all his leverage right away? That doesn't make any sense. The conclusion that I have is that Trump, even by his own admission, caved into the, quote, yippee and afraid, unquote, markets. Now, the president, to his great credit, wants to rebuild the U.S. manufacturing base. He wants to restore the middle class and balance our trade deficits. However, he quickly became aware that he cannot do so without causing a recession and market crashes, both stock and bond market crashes. Therefore, he is now forced to walk a very fine line. He cannot eliminate all of the tariffs. After all, that is his favorite word. And he would look very weak to remove all of the duties on China, especially on China. He brought all the rest of the countries down to 10%, not a big deal. I think they might go even a little higher from there. Who knows? Like I said, you can't read the president's mind. But to remove tariffs on China down to 10% before any trade deal is reached, it politically disastrous for him. But at the same time, he does need tariff revenue to pay for the extension of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. He needs tariff revenue to reduce our massive trade deficit, which was $140 billion in March, the largest deficit for any month in U.S. history. And yet he also needs to find an off-ramp from the devastating 145% tariff level with China as soon as possible. ASAP, because empty shelves and soaring prices are only about 1 month away. I believe Trump will declare victory against China in the trade war very soon, maybe even after this weekend. Hence, the tariffs on China will be reduced. To what level is the question? The president is going to say something like, China has made sufficient efforts to stem the flow of fentanyl into the U.S., and President Xi has expressed a sincere desire to make a wonderfully huge deal. Under that cover, the tariffs will be lowered to a level near, I think, around 50%, while the two countries hammer out a more specific deal. Now, the market may rally a bit higher on that announcement, but it may be very short-lived because that announcement has already been priced into shares. It is not just a small and temporary tariff reduction that the economy and markets are looking for. It is a level of stability on Chinese import duties that is assured to remain static, stable, and well below 50%. And I believe that is still some time away. Now, here is a similar and very important take on the tariff situation from the founder and chief investment officer of one of the biggest hedge funds in the world, Ray Dalio. Quote, listen carefully to this, please. Quote, many exporters to the United States, think China, and importers from other countries that trade with the U.S. are saying they have to greatly reduce their dealings with the United States, recognizing that whatever happens with tariffs, these problems will not go away, and that radically reduced interdependencies with the U.S. is a reality that has to be planned for. The United States' role as the world's biggest consumer of manufactured goods and greatest producer of debt assets to finance its overconsumption is unsustainable. So assuming that one can sell and lend to the U.S. and get paid back with hard, that is not devalued, dollars on their U.S. debt holdings is naive thinking. So other plans have to be made. Close quote. In other words, for Mr. Dalio, it is already too late to undo the damage done to the U.S. dollar and our bond market. The truth is the economy was already under pressure from a reducing labor force, less fiscal stimulus, and shrinking liquidity. Tariffs have pulled forward and economic contractions happening now, which is exacerbating the real estate debacle and banking crisis that's still in our future. We also have huge issues with the behavior of our treasury market due to persistent inflation in the context of a deepening fiscal crisis. Considering all this, we increased our net short position last week during the euphoria to take advantage of what could be a sharp decline in prices over the next few weeks, especially if Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, comes back from China, his trip this weekend, empty-handed, or at least partially filled. We intend on selling the rips and buying the dips until the IDEC model confirms the much larger and more protracted bear market and grand reconciliation of asset prices has begun. We'll use the same process to pick the bottom and get aggressively long when appropriate. All this could start happening very soon if the status quo remains much longer.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.